Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, airlines say that they're installing comfortable new seats for you, but you know what? It's not about comfort, it's about money. Your money in their pockets.
At 3:15, we tell you about a website that will help LGBT travelers find accommodations and activities on the road.
At 3:35, I'm going to get Mark to share some great information about his just-completed trip to Maui. We'll also compare some notes on adventures to the island of Molokai.
At 3:45, we're joined by Ed Mum, proprietor of Dig This in Las Vegas, for one of the most entertaining interviews you've heard on the radio in a long time.
Yes, sir, folks. All that as we dazzle and amaze you, as always. The Sunday edition of The Travel Guys next.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chickens out on the roof, 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Yes, the stars are out. Yes, the dazzling part. Dazzle you with bright, shiny things. Amaze you with my usual lack of ability to speak clearly. Welcome to the
You've
program.
Always been a sucker for bright, shiny things.
You know it. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano in studio today. Mark Hoffman is actually at your office today. Tell me, why are you there and I'm here? We know why you were last week in Hawaii and the week before that in New Orleans, but
yeah.
Why just across town?
Well, just across town because my company, Sports Leisure Vacations, has been hosting an open house, spring open house this weekend, and it's just winding down the third of 3 days here. We've had almost 400 of our best clients come by for a little of JR's famous barbecue and to hear about some of the trips that we have announced for the holiday season and the fall travel season. So we have been entertaining folks here, and it just made it impossible for me to be here and there at the same time. So by the wonder of modern technology, I can join you live from the Sports Leisure office here at Old Winery Place, and you can be there at the KFBK studios.
Oh, that's awesome. I don't live very far from your office. If I would have known you had the JR's barbecue, I probably would have snuck by to
and that
you know,
is specifically
get some finger licking good.
I didn't mention it for that specific reason.
Well, thanks a lot.
Can you believe JR has been doing this for 28 years? He caters more events around town. He was here himself for 3 days talking with all of my clients and teasing the ladies and everything. And he is he is a showman. You could do lots worse if you're looking for a catering. JR has fair prices. He's a nice guy, and he's been doing this for most of his life around Sacramento. So that's a cheap, blatant plug for JR's barbecue.
Well, if it's coming from you, Mark, because I know how you feel about the people that you do business with, and if you wouldn't mention them at all if they weren't top notch. So
well, and
good
JR's
for you and JR.
He's been around town for gosh forever. You have to admire folks who have been in the restaurant business or the food catering business for that long. I mean, and he was just talking about how when you all go to the supermarket next week, you're going to notice that the price of chicken and pork and beef has gone up dramatically.
Yeah, and it's going to keep going up.
Yeah, JR was just sharing all that with me. So anyways, away from the barbecue at Sports Leisure Vacations and on to the travel news.
All right, fire up the band.
There we go. As we mentioned in the headlines, the airlines are after you again. Airlines are jamming more seats into coach cabins to offset the extra real estate devoted to lie flat beds and other premium class chairs. No matter what the airlines claim and the seat makers promise, the lighter weight, ultra trim, slimline seats being introduced are not comfortable. Or to be more precise, their lack of padding and reduced recline stink. What a horrible experience, one business travel related after sitting in a slimline chair on a recent transcontinental flight. Another said the seat cushions have noticeably shrunk. They make you feel like you're sitting on a bench. Worse, airlines will not stop using them. United Airlines, for example, expects half of its 2014 capacity growth will be the result of slimline seats, which permits the installation of one or two additional rows of coach chairs per aircraft.
Well, you
so
know.
It is not about comfort, as you said in the headlines, yeah. Thomas. It's about money in their pockets.
Well, you know, that would be fine, but I think a lot of folks are like me in that as the years go by, I don't need slimline. I need extra wide. You know, of course, we can send them down to John Holloway's place, and they can get that that extra comfy pad thing, inflatable thing you can put on your seat to improve your comfort.
Yeah, exactly. And that and $2 will get you a cup of coffee. No, it's just it's funny when the airlines put out these press releases and tell people and try this song and dance about, oh, this is going to be more comfortable, when the reality is that the facts are that there's less padding. It's not more comfortable. It's designed to get more seats onto the aircraft. So why don't you just say that to start with instead of lying to us and trying to tell us that, oh, this is going to be immensely more comfortable. Most of us are smarter than that. Speaking of airlines, Tom, the top 10 airline list here is come out. Let's see who did this one. The airline quality rating list from Wichita State University's Frank Barton School of Business. They say that the number one airline, according to, based on on-time arrivals, bumped flights, mishandled baggage, and a combination of 12 customer complaint categories. Remember when Southwest used to be number one, Tom, every year in all of these categories?
For the longest time. Now, when you give this, what you're about to say here, is this starting with the best or starting with the worst?
Well, this is starting with the best. But
okay.
Just a note that Southwest used to be first. In 2012, they were eighth. And this year, they were eighth. And here's another interesting thing that relates to Southwest. In 2012, AirTran, which is an airline that Southwest has purchased. Mm-hmm. AirTran never flew into Sacramento, but they purchased AirTran. In 2012, AirTran was third on the airline quality rating list. Now that Southwest has taken over the airline, AirTran this year ranked 10th. So that's not the best of news for those of folks who are looking for quality service at Southwest. The number one airline, as it was last year, is Virgin America, another carrier that does not serve Sacramento, but you can get flights out of San Francisco. JetBlue was second. Hawaiian was third. Then Delta Alaska. Endeavor Air, which is a commuter carrier for Delta, U.S. Airways, Southwest, American, and AirTran. Notice that United is not in the top 10 and was not last year either.
Well, congratulations to Henry, our pilot for Virgin America.
For Virgin America, who flies for the number one rated airline when it comes to quality in the country 2 years in a row. Henry is going to join us on the radio next month, Thomas. So
awesome.
We'll get an update. Airlines, Christopher Elliott, our consumer reporter, who writes in the Sacramento Bee and also for USA Today, mentions in USA Today this week that airlines rarely pay full compensation to bumped flyers. His column talks about the fact that uninformed travelers are only taking about 10% of the cash compensation that airlines owe them when you're bumped off of an airline. Tom, let's pretend you go to the airport,
mm-hmm.
and you get out there, you've got a ticket, everything, you show up on the right amount of time and everything, they board the plane, they say, sorry, sir, we don't have room for you. Do you know that you're entitled to at least twice the value of your one-way ticket?
Really? No, I did not know that.
Well, that's if they get you there by if it's an hour delay. If you're delayed by two or more hours, the value goes up to 400% of the ticket price, and that doesn't have anything to do with vouchers. That's supposed to be cash from the airline, not vouchers that, on some restricted basis that you can use later. So Chris Elliott talked about this, and I sent Chris an email, and we're going to have him on the program next week so that we can make our folks smarter travelers by making sure that they're not leaving money on the table when the airline kicks you off the airplane. There's a penalty for that, and you need to know what it is and how to get it so that you'll be a smarter traveler.
Awesome.
Tavern on the Green, the famous New York restaurant, is reopening this month. It closed on January the 1st of 2010. Used to be a very popular restaurant for sports leisure travelers. We always visited there on our New York packages. It is reopening for dinner on the 24th of April of this month, and will reopen for lunch and brunch on Mother's Day. The restaurant opened in 1934, originally after master builder Robert Moses in Central Park evicted the sheep from the building. It has undergone a major renovation, and it did after the sheep left, too. It includes a new interior design reminiscent of old New York, according to the new owners. I can't wait to see it and report back when I'm in New York next week. Thomas, have you ever heard of Minions?
Minions.
Minions. You know, the little characters?
It's a reference to small people.
Yeah, kind of.
Really.
Minions are the new animated creatures that Universal Studios has created.
Oh, those aren't the ones that you see in what's the the show, the ones with the round heads, and some of them only have one eye. What are they? What was that movie? Despicable Me, guys.
That's it. The Despicable Me Minions. Yes.
Okay.
There is a new Minion attraction at Universal Studios.
Really?
So, for those of you who have little ones at home, there's another reason to take them down to Universal Studios, and you can go to the Minion Recruitment and Training Center.
Awesome.
Wow. Your kids can become minions right at Universal Studios. And finally, one last travel news item today. Megabus has introduced reserve seating. That's the express bus service that operates between Sacramento and San Francisco and Sacramento and Reno. There are two runs each day on that. It's the bus line where you can get seats for as cheap as $1 if you reserve far enough in advance. And they are now going to start reserving some of the seats on their bus. Those are double-decker buses, and a few of the seats are have a better view and stuff, so they're going to follow the airline's lead now and start offering reserve seating in some of their more desirable seats for $3, $5, or $7 extra. I went online, Tom, and saw that you can get seats on the Megabus to San Francisco. I pulled up this coming Wednesday, and there were seats as cheap as $7 one way.
So no, that's awesome.
If you're going to San Francisco or Reno, the Megabus might be something that you might want to look up. And that is your travel news.
There you go.
Today.
Outstanding. Thanks, Mark. Great stuff from the travel news. Megabus to San Francisco for a Giants game. By the way, speaking of views, if you go to travelguysradio.com, there you'll get a chance to see a little video of one of our guests coming up later on in the show about Dig This. Also, so I see a video here of looks like somebody getting laid that I think you posted on there from your trip to Hawaii.
I should never leave you in the studio by yourself. Yes, getting laid as in a flower lay. And yes, that's part of the Ulalena. Ulalena is the way you pronounce it. Ulalena. Show in Maui that we're going to talk about after the news at the bottom of the hour.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everyone. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We'll be back with more right after a short break. Thanks for joining us today. It's the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK, 1530 AM, 93.1 FM. Mark, welcome back. You know, one of the things we try to do with the Travel Guys is make you a smarter traveler on a weekly basis. And sometimes that, you know, it takes a different twist. You know, people who are looking for special kind of accommodation, sometimes people travel with their kids. Sometimes they travel alone. Tell me a little bit about where you ran across our next guests.
Well, these are the guys that have Purple Roofs, which is a website that specifically is for gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual travelers who are looking for places that are friendly to or where they can meet folks from their community. And I thought it was interesting that you mentioned, Tom, that, you know, when folks go out and travel, it's there's a lot more acceptance of gay and lesbian folks now in our society. And so is this still a big issue for them? And it may not be a big issue, but as you mentioned to me, you know, folks who have kids, they like to go places where there are things for their kids. People who go scuba diving, you know, they like to go places where they might meet other scuba divers. So it's just it's a common interest thing. And I think that's probably where most of this comes. And probably over time, it has changed from less from a safety standpoint to more of just being about having a place to stay where you're comfortable.
Well, we grabbed this interview a little earlier in the week, so Louisa, let's go ahead and let our listeners take a listen.
We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Mark Hoffman there. I'm Tom Romano, and we're here to make you a smarter traveler. And to do that, we've got special guests on the line. Mark, why don't you introduce our guests for our listeners today?
We've got Scott and Marco, who have an online travel site called Purple Roofs, and I'm going to let them, Marco and Scott, tell us what Purple Roofs is all about, guys.
Well, sure. Purple Roofs is for the gay traveler to find places to stay around the world that are gay-friendly and also to find gay events worldwide.
So if I'm a gay man and I'm looking for a place to stay and I go to your website, am I going to find special prices? Am I going to find places that are just more accepting and responsive to the needs of a gay traveler? Or all of those things?
Well, all of the above. Every one of our listings is supposed to be gay-friendly. That's why they come to us. they're looking for gay travelers to come and stay with them on a nightly or a couple night basis, you know, short term.
So, guys, if the acceptance of gay and lesbian folks in society in general is increasing fairly dramatically, and acceptance of same-sex marriage and things of that type of are going up pretty dramatically, is it still important for a lodging to designate themselves as gay-friendly, or is that still as big of a deal as it might have been 5 or 10 or 20 years ago?
It's not as big a deal as it used to be, but there are still a lot of places that aren't as gay-friendly as we'd like them to be. But we do think that in 5 to 10 years, we'll probably be obsolete.
Scott and Marco, in regards to your website and being able to identify locations and places to go that are gay-friendly, what kind of research and qualifying do you go about before you post them on your website?
Well, early on, we did a lot of research. We had to find them. Now they come to us.
They come to you in order to be listed. Is there a charge for them to be listed, or do they have to meet some type of criteria?
There's no charge for the basic listing. We do charge for upgrades. And the main criteria is that they treat their gay and lesbian guests the same as they treat everyone else.
How do you verify? In other words, you've got a place that's on your website and it's been there for a year or two. I'm sure this is the case with not just with your website, but with any website that is touting accommodations. Heck, it would be that way for, you know, Starwood is now posting reviews of their, if you make a review of a Starwood hotel, you can post it to the website of that hotel so that people can see it. So how do, other than just social networking websites like TripAdvisor and stuff, I'm guessing your places are on there just like any others. Are there other ways that people can verify the level of friendliness to gay travelers that the Purple Roof's accommodations offer?
Well, we do the old trust but verify thing. We really haven't had many issues with properties on the site not being gay friendly, but we do occasionally hear from travelers when that is the case or when there's a problem. And at that point, we do go back to the site and work with them to find out what happened and take them off the site if it's appropriate. But it's a very rare issue. It maybe happens once a month or once every 2 months we have a property like that.
On your website, it mentions that Purple Roof started in 1999 and that you've got over 4,800 bed and breakfasts, hotels, vacation rentals, and other properties around the world. In addition to, you've got a travel news site on there which looks like that it's recently updated and posted. What's the mission? What's the goal of Purple Roofs?
The goal is just to make it easier for gay travelers, or LGBT travelers in general, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender, to find great places to stay and great things to do that they're going to enjoy and that will be friendly to them as well.
Now, Scott and Marco, do you have vacation specials available that you seek out and post on Purple Roof?
Well, once a month, we send an email to our innkeepers and ask them to send in special offers, and they come in.
You're not only just listing places on a retail price basis, but you're also listing special offers and things from the people that have chosen to list on your on Purple Roofs.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have a section on the site that's for the special offers. But you can also find them looking at any of the pages where you're trying to find accommodations. The specials are listed on each accommodation as well.
It's a beautiful website. It's purpleroofs.com, or you can go to travelguysradio.com, as always, to see links for everything that is on the show this week. Scott and Marco, thank you both very much taking some time and telling us a little bit about Purple Roof, specializing in not only accommodations, but also activities and other vacation type events for gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual travelers. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Well, there you go.
Hey, Thomas, it's thanks to the guys for their time. And there is a link on travelguysradio.com. I wanted to tell you, Tom, this week I just picked up a thing from fly.com. Talked to some travelers about what they were willing to pay extra for.
Yes, you sent me a copy of that. This is fascinating.
The headline is, would you pay to cut in line for the toilets on a flight? That's the headline. So immediately it got my attention because, you know, I've never, you know, you get stuck back in coach and a long line of people. And, you know, what if you could get a line pass?
But you pointed out the long line of people now. Most flights I've been on, they don't want you gathering in a line back there.
Well, yeah, they really don't.
You can tell by the look on people's faces that keep lifting their heads up and looking to the back. It's kind of a virtual line, if you will.
Interestingly enough, here's some of the statistics here. 89% of flyers think current checked bag fees are bogus. I would be included in that. Of course, it's bogus. It's just the way that the airlines, they couldn't raise the fares and make it stick over the years, so they all got together and decided to add bag fees a few years back. 43% of passengers would be willing to splurge extra on overhead bin space. That's not good news.
Yeah, and then at the same time, you have, what was it, American or whoever it was that
Spirit.
Was... Spirit. They were talking about charging you from, I don't know, 50 to 150 for using the space.
For using the overhead space. Alaska is now doing something that's getting increasingly popular on their flights, Thomas. They're letting people who are not using, if you're not using the overhead bin to put anything in it, you're allowed to board earlier in the queue. So folks who are not putting things upstairs, that gets them on the airplane a little earlier, that might help people check their bag. Or if they get to the gate and they are willing to check their bag, gate check it, why then they can get into that group also. So 41% of passengers don't care about Wi-Fi on planes. 40% think airline meals should be complimentary. 45% of passengers would pay more for extra legroom. Now, that's why I said that when it said 43% would pay for overhead space, I groaned, because they know that 45% of us will pay for legroom, and they're charging us for it. So if they start charging for overhead space, that would be bad news. 35% of people are willing to pay to have their bags arrive first at baggage claim.
Really?
There's something the airlines haven't thought of. 34%, this is really interesting, would pay to stop the seat in front of them from reclining. 26% would pay to have an empty middle seat next to them. Put me in that category.
Yeah, me too.
I would pay a little bit to keep that that seat empty. Of course, I wouldn't buy the seat. Let's see. What are some of the other ones here? 90% of passengers said they wanted more comfortable seats. 45% more extra legroom. We shared that. Oh, here it is. 13% of those polled said they'd pay to have control of the armrests. that was fun.
Control of the armrest. You mean the armrest is mine?
You buy the armrest, and the guy, other person there, would not be able to use it.
No, man, I'd like to see how that would go.
4% said they would shell out for the right to control the window shade, and 4% said they would pay to be first in line for the restroom.
Well. Oh, we got news coming up, but I got one last comment here before. I would pay, and I think a lot of people would, super extra for not a bumpy flight, for a smooth flight, please, that
you
actually
think so?
Makes me want to fly again.
We are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. We are live from KFBK Studios and the offices of Sports Leisure Vacations. We will be back with a great 30 minutes right after the news.
Boy, I tell you, if you could drive to Hawaii, boy, you know, it's Mark, I think it's fascinating. Oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Travel Guys radio show every Sunday, 3 to 4 here on KFBK. Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. Tom Romano are your hosts. That's Mark over there, and actually over there, way over there in the office, and I'm here in the studio. Mark, Hawaii has to be the most popular destination for vacationing, you know, out of California for us that live in California. We're pretty lucky because of that. We live so close.
Yeah, we are, because the people on the East Coast go to the Bahamas and stuff like that. And I'm thinking that Hawaii is it's a whole different world. Let's face it. Just like New York is different from San Francisco, Hawaii is a very different destination. And we are lucky to be here on the West Coast and be able to go to a place that is so special. I mentioned last week on the program that there are a few destinations on this planet that really live up to people's expectations, but Hawaii is one of them. I mean, it's not an inexpensive place to go, although there are ways to do Hawaii cheaper than, you know, you don't have to stay in oceanfront hotels and have great views. I mean, the oceanfront is free and you can always go walk and lay on it. But we had a wonderful week on Maui, and it was the second time that we'd offered this itinerary, Tom. And I thought it would just be fun to talk a little bit about some of the things that we do, because some of the folks who listen to the show say, well, you talk about the places you go, but you never talk about the things that you do or tell us what we should do when we go there. So,
all right.
I thought that would be, because on this particular trip to Maui, and I know a lot of folks from Sacramento go to Maui pretty regularly, and I suspect they don't do a lot of these things. I mean, the Slack Key guitar concert that we went to at Napili Kai Resort, on the west side of the island, which is on Wednesdays and Thursday nights. It's a $30 ticket. You can combine dinner at the Napili Kai Resort with it, choice of four menu items, and I think the dinner is about $45. And it was a good quality dinner, and $45 for dinner and for a three-course dinner in Hawaii is not a bad price. So that was something that I suspect there's an awful lot of locals at the concert, so I suspect that's something that a lot of people don't know about. We took one on the entertainment mode. We went one evening into town and saw a beautiful theater presentation of a show called Ulalina. It's hard for, hard to pronounce that for me.
You're doing good.
And it's kind of sort of a luau-ish show, but to call it that really does a disservice to these people because they are professional entertainers who are presenting something more than just the song and dance that you see at a luau, which can, the entertainment at those can vary in quality. And I would frankly tell people, this is just my opinion, but I think $90 or $100 for a luau is a waste of money. If you're on Maui, go into Lahaina Town and see Ulalina, and the best seat in the house is about $45 or $50, and go and have yourself a wonderful dinner at Ruth Chris Steakhouse across the way, or at Lahaina Fish Company, which is just down a block and on the water, and you'll pay less money than you will for a luau. You'll probably be better fed, and you certainly will come away with a much better understanding of the history and the culture of the people of Hawaii.
Very nice. There is a video, by the way, folks, of this of a snippet, I'm guessing, of Ulalina, the story of Hawaii's people, and you can see that at travelguysradio.com. You know, Mark, one of the things that I think about Hawaii, people go there, and I've been with friends, and it seems that when people go, one of the things that they will say while they're there, particularly when they're getting close to leaving, is, you know, I could live here.
And many people do. Many of the folks, like a lot of the bus drivers and people like that, you'll talk to folks who are over there and work in tourism. They're people who came there and just decided that this was...
I'm not going back.
Yeah, where they wanted to spend the rest of their days, which isn't surprising. I mean, it's an expensive place to live. And so unless you've got a source of income or a good retirement, you're going to have a trouble going there. But I think a lot of people like to go to Hawaii and just pretend they're retired for a week. One of the things we do, you know, on our tours, we're up to doing things that people wouldn't normally do or wouldn't normally find on their own. We don't spend a lot of time in standard tourist attractions, except to the extent that they serve our needs. One of the places we go to up in the upcountry of Maui there is called O'o Farms. It's O apostrophe O, and there's a link on our Travel Guys Radio website. The guys that run this do a terrific job of taking people out into their gardens. You help them pick the food that they're going to fix for you for lunch, especially the fruits and vegetables. They explain to you how their form of planning is more friendly to the environment, and then you get to eat this wonderful meal with all things that have been grown, caught, or that come from the area. And what a terrific experience. And it's in the upcountry, and most people don't even know that it's there. And for about $50 a person, you can get in your rental car and have an experience that 99.5% of the people who go to Maui will only dream of.
Now, while you were there, when we did our show last Sunday, the following day, Monday, a week ago tomorrow, you had an excursion to one of the places that I had a chance to visit some years ago. I was looking to vacation in Hawaii and do some horseback riding, and my father-in-law was living on the Big Island. And so when we got there, he says, well, Tom and Stephanie, I don't have horseback riding, but he got a mule ride in Molokai. You can fly over there. And at that time, there was a new Sheraton, which has since changed hands and become something else. But and anyway, we took the mule ride down a sheer cliff down to the leper colony, where we were put on a bus and given a tour of the missions and so forth. It was extremely fascinating and probably one of the most unique outings that I've ever had in Hawaii. Tell me about your trip to Molokai.
Well, and they still do that mule tour. The day we were there, they had some rain in the morning, and they had canceled it because it was just the trails were too slick. But you can still take the mule down to Father Damien's leper colony, and you can still go down there. when we went to Molokai last week, we took the ferry boat over, and then we spent the day just meeting some different people on the island. There's a lady who makes and sells salt there on the island in her own trays in her own front yard. Fascinating. You can buy gourmet salt. You can sea salt. You can buy it all over
there
the islands.
So we
met a man who has a small macadamia nut farm there who was really a character and entertained us. So we had lunch at the hotel that you mentioned there. It is now called the Hotel Molokai, and the old A-frame. Remember those old A-frame things that must have looked terribly modern when you were there?
Oh, sure. They were like brand new.
Yeah, they look a little outdated now.
Well, but that was a long time ago. That was about in 76. You an idea how long ago that was.
Molokai remains a place that people don't really, they're not really all that interested in tourism. There's a few people there who serve the tourists who come there, but they don't go out of their way to advertise or tell people to come there for tourism. And a lot of people, frankly, on that island of about 6,000 residents don't want tourists there. So it's a real throwback to the old Hawaii and the kind of place that if you can go, we took the ferry boat over, spent a day of sightseeing, and then had a private charter flight back. The gentleman who owns the Royal Lahaina has an airplane, and he flew us at a price, of course, back to the hotel. And next year, we're going to use that airplane to do private flight seeing trips to Hana. So our group will not have to take that terrible road over there, but can go over and have a great lunch. So always looking for ways to make the traveler's experience a little better. But I wanted to just share a few things about Maui and about Molokai today so that folks would have some ideas of things to do next time that you go there. And if you must do a luau when you go to Hawaii, why, that's fine. There are lots of good people who put on luaus in Hawaii, but there are better ways to see good local entertainment than at a luau.
Well, I suppose, you know, at least in a lot of people's minds for years, a Hawaii vacation, especially to Honolulu, was to, the Royal Lahaina, would be to go to a luau and see Don Ho.
Yeah, well, yes, the Royal Lahaina is on Maui, but to
Maui,
you're talking
rather,
about
yeah.
the... Hilton Hawaiian Village there.
Yes.
Where Don Ho entertained. Yes. And it was, now people's idea of a Hawaiian vacation is very different, and I think it's evolving, and I think younger people are going there and looking for the kinds of things that we were just talking about, and there are lots of other great things to do on the other islands. These are only a sample. Go to travelguysradio.com, and there are links to all of those places, and you can start dreaming of your own Hawaiian vacation. When we come back after the break, we are going to introduce you to Ed Mum. Ed owns Dig This in Las Vegas, and trust me, whether you have any interest in Las Vegas, ever going there, or his attraction, which is a heavy equipment playground, you are going to love this interview. We are the Travel Guys on KFBK. Stay with us.
Welcome, everyone. It's the Travel Guys here to make you a smarter traveler. I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. We have a guest joining us by phone from Las Vegas, somebody who was on one of our very first radio shows here on KFBK. Mark, introduce our guest and tell the folks a little bit about him.
Ed Mum is the founder and owner of Dig This, America's original heavy equipment playground in Las Vegas. Ed, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Hey, good to be back, Mark and Tom.
Ed was a guest on one of our very first programs. When we did a best of program at the end of the year, we asked listeners to write in and tell us which interviews they'd like the best. Yours was by far the winner. So when I saw you at the NTA convention just a few weeks ago in Los Angeles, it reminded me that it had been far too long since we had talked and that we needed to check in with you and see how things were going at the heavy equipment playground in Las Vegas.
First of all, for those that may have not heard that show, and I'm sure that we have a few. Ed, tell us what Dig This is all about.
Well, basically, we're a heavy equipment attraction, and the best way to describe it is it's an adult-sized sandbox where people 14 and older can come and play on big, heavy equipment like bulldozers and excavators, and we just don't just do your normal just construction activities. We do really fun events above ground as well, like stacking big 2-ton tires into pyramids and playing basketball with the excavators. So we really mix it up, so it's a lot of fun.
Wait. Playing basketball with an excavator?
Yes. Yeah, you know, it's usually our last event because people usually got the controls and everything worked out, but we get them up on this really quite a steep ramp and we have them spin around a few times just to get them out of their comfort zone. And then we have them look over and reach over with the bucket and there's these big basketballs sitting on cones. So the objective is to scoop that basketball up in the bucket, and then swing around and put it through a big hoop right behind them there. So,
how long has Dig This been open now?
Well, in Las Vegas, we're 3 years now, but we've actually been running about 5 years. We started it out here in Colorado first, and then just designed the concept there and just to see how it would go. And then when we realized that, hey, there's quite a need for this attraction or want or desire. And so as soon as we had everybody knocking down our door saying, hey, you need to get this somewhere else so it's a little bit more accessible, we decided Las Vegas was the place, and we opened up there 3 years ago.
Ed, I have to ask you, here again, this is a business that you have to have some sort of liability insurance, or you have to have the people sign off before they train and get behind the controls of a bulldozer. How difficult was it to get approval and get licensed to do something like this?
It was insane. As soon as I'd walk into an insurance company, because it took us ages to find insurance, their immediate reaction was, you're going to do what? We're going to put everyday people on heavy equipment. And so after a year, we finally found someone that would insure us. But, even the whole, taking it to, the city of Las Vegas to get approval, that was a whole process in itself, because they didn't really understand what we're up to, because we were first to market with this. And so it took a lot of discussion and a lot of education for the city, before they approved this. And that was 3 years ago. And I've finally gotten over that process. But we moved on because, now we've proved that, we're a very good attraction and safe attraction in Las Vegas, to the point, where we're now ranked like either the number one or number two attraction on TripAdvisor on any given day. And out of 552 activities to do. So that certainly gives us some pretty good merit there.
And we're talking with Ed Mumm. Ed is the owner of Dig This, America's original heavy equipment playground in Las Vegas and also in Colorado. Ed, you've been in business for a while now, 3 years Vegas, 5 years Colorado. You must have a story or two there. Did a little old lady climb up into one of those things and tear up the whole place? Or you must have a story or two. Share one.
Well, we've had 90-year-olds in the equipment, but that's really not the one that comes to mind. 50% of our clients are women, and we actually really enjoy the women because they're very emotional and they show emotion. They laugh, they scream, and, the guys tend to take things a little bit more seriously.
Oh, they're going to be heavy equipment operators.
Oh, that's right. But the girls get out there and have a great time. But, the one that always comes to mind was there was a lady there, and all she wanted to do was thrash the bucket down on the ground, and it really wasn't part of the attraction. hey, what's going on? And she said, look, just give me a couple more good blows with this excavator here so I can just smash this bucket on the ground. And then she opened up to us later, and we said, and she looked totally relieved at the end of the experience. We said, okay, you got to tell us what that was all about. And she said, I just got a divorce.
Way to take out your frustration.
Yeah. So she obviously had her husband on her mind when she was smashing that bucket on the ground. So,
she had that look of satisfaction when she was done, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
Can you really jump into one of these things and just start going?
Well, obviously we just don't let people get out there and have at it. We do a classroom session first, just give them a little bit of insight of what they're going to be doing, plus go over some of the safety stuff. And then we've got an instructor, with all the operators. So, it's usually one instructor per two machines. So we start them off really slowly just so they get orientated with all the equipment controls and everything. And then we start with just some really simple activities, and then we get right into some really cool fun activities like the ones I described earlier.
Look, you're in Las Vegas. You've had a lot of celebrities that come through Vegas on a regular basis. Tell me, go ahead, drop a couple names. What celebrities have been to your place?
It's weird. We have to sign these waivers, and we can't tell people who's here. And we've had some really good famous people come through.
Uh-huh.
But we've had some good local famous ones, like Penn and Teller have been through. People come through, like famous people that we didn't even know about until they left because they booked the place for themselves. And they're very heavily in disguise, and they just have a small group of people with them. And then once they've left, we finally hear that it was actually such and such, and under a different alias.
So well, you never know who you're gonna run into when you're out digging.
And don't let David Copperfield show up. He might try to make the whole thing disappear.
Ed, buddy, thank you again for your time. We really appreciate it. That's a great story about the lady in the divorce. I love it. Ed Mum from Dig This in Las Vegas. Go to TravelGuysRadio.com. We'll give you a link to Ed's website, and the next time you're in Vegas, you can climb into a big piece of heavy equipment and tear up the town. Thank you, my friend. We'll see you soon.
Oh, Mike and Tom, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Ed, he's awesome. I can't wait to give that a try myself. Mark?
I can't either. I'm going to go down there. We're going to have some live footage from there. Listen, Tom, I know we're short on time. I just want to take a second and thank all the people who came to our open house here at Sports Leisure Vacations this weekend. I have the best customers of any business in town. And I'll tell you something else. The event's been over for 30 minutes, and the staff already has everything packed up and cleaned up. I don't only have the best customers. I have the best team and the best staff. I am incredibly grateful for all of them. So thank you all who came to the open house this weekend. And Thomas, I guess we'll talk next Sunday.
All right. And thank our listeners for joining us. See you next week, 3 o'clock, another edition of the Travel Guys.